Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing from what is listed as being the 22nd chapter, 22nd and last chapter of the book of the Revelation of St. John the Divine, the Revelation of John the Apostle. But before I commence with what is listed as being the 22nd chapter, I'm going to address something that I mentioned from the previous portion of Scripture. Regarding the gates, the 12 gates, upon which the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel are inscribed, I gave a listing of the 12 tribes of Israel, stated that the tribe of Dan would be included, contrary to the matter of the 12 tribes and half-tribes that were named with regard to the 144,000. And I made mention that there was support for this in the Old Testament, as indeed there is in the book of Ezekiel, in the very last portion of Ezekiel. It says the following. Actually, prior to that, let me say this, that in the previous portion of Scripture in Revelation, it says that, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, from Ezekiel, what is listed as being the last portion of Scripture there. And these are the goings out of the city on the north side. If you're following by verses, I'm beginning with what is listed as the 30th verse of the 48th so-called chapter. And these are the goings out of the city on the north side, 4,500 measures. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. Three gates northward, one gate of Reuben, one gate of Judah, one gate of Levi, and at the east side, 4,500 and three gates, and one gate of Joseph, one gate of Benjamin, one gate of Dan. And at the south side, 4,500 measures and three gates, one gate of Simeon, one gate of Issachar, one gate of Zebulun. At the west side, 4,500 with their three gates, one gate of Gad, one gate of Asher, one gate of Naphtali. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Or, as it states in Revelation, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And as I stated in the previous message concerning this about the 12 gates, that it specifies which three tribes are associated with, are named with the gates for each direction, namely the east, the north, the south, and the west. So you see that the tribe of Dan is not left out. The tribe of Dan is not discarded. All right, contrary to the teachings of some extremely lofty luminaries. Nonetheless, the tribe of Dan, interestingly enough, is included with Joseph and Benjamin facing the east. And there is significance for that with regard to the preceding portions of Ezekiel. In terms of the importance of the east-facing portion of the city and of the temple there. But, and Joseph and Benjamin, who seemingly supplanted Dan in the, again, with regard to the 144,000, where they had, instead of Joseph and Benjamin, and instead of having it Ephraim and Manasseh in the place of Joseph, they had Joseph and Manasseh and Benjamin and Levi and so forth. It was, so you ought not assume that God has dispensed with the tribe of Dan. But moving along with what is listed as being the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. For the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. There is considerable repetition from the previous portion of Scripture listed as the 21st chapter and this, the final portion of Scripture in the Revelation of God to Jesus Christ to John the Apostle via the Lord's angel. Considerable. God does not repeat to be redundant. God repeats to reinforce and to amplify and to illustrate and to explain and so forth. But going back again to the beginning now of what is listed as the 22nd and final chapter of the book of Revelation, as I have said time and again, the chronologies in terms of the order, the sequence of the things that transpire are not always served well by having chapter headings, numbering, and so forth, and should not be relied upon. But it states, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Interestingly enough, in the previous portion of Scripture, we had, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Pure gold, as transparent as glass. And here we have, and that was the street of the city, and now we have this river of water of life, clear as crystal. Less amazing than gold being perhaps less amazing than gold being transparent as glass. But here, clear as crystal, this river of water of life, proceeding out of, from the throne of God and of the Lamb. As the water proceeding forth from the temple in Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel. So here we have this water of life proceeding from the throne of God in the New Jerusalem, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, in the midst of the street of it. It sounds as if, I'm not saying this is the case, but it sounds as if this river of water of life is in the midst of a street, if you will, street which happens to be of pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And on either side of the river, along the banks of this river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And so these trees are perpetually, continually bearing fruit. Every month, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Now, I don't quite understand that. Something new, right, that I don't understand it. But why do the nations need to be healed? This is in the new Jerusalem, on the new earth, under the new heavens. God the Father, God the Son are the light of this new Jerusalem. Those who are therein have new bodies, glorified bodies. Not that it says so much in the book of Revelation, but why do they need healing? New bodies, not our old, afflicted, decaying, disease-ridden bodies, but new bodies, glorified bodies. Why do they need healing? We can use some healing now. I could use some healing now. Perchance you could, you know, to heal our bodies of disease and of wounds and take away the scars and restore us and regenerate us and renew us. Revive us, beautify us, stop the effect of aging, reverse the effect of aging. But why in heaven's name, in the new Jerusalem, in the presence of God who is with all of these, who are given this unspeakable gift of being permitted to inhabit the eternal kingdom of God in the New Jerusalem, why do they need healing? I don't understand. I just don't. And there shall be no more curse. So there's no more curse, which includes all manner of diseases. If you go back to the curse in the book of Exodus, for instance, there we have the plagues of Egypt, the diseases of Egypt, specifically. If there's no more curse, there's no more disease. So why do we need healing? There not only will not be any dread, terrible, horrible, monstrous, grievous diseases, there will not be the common cold. So why do we need healing? And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Now, I imagine that there are those of us who cannot come to terms with that. The matter of the name of God being in our foreheads. But what about all of those people who will willingly receive the mark or the number or the name of the beast and perhaps all of those in their forehead and or in their right hand? But the name of God is going to be written in the foreheads of each and every person. And again, we will have new bodies. These will not be tattoos, people. All right? This is God's signature, God's handiwork. And mysteriously to me anyway, we will each be given a name that no one else will know. God will know it, but no one else will know it. Which implies that then we're all strangers from one another and that we remain strangers, which to me is strange. But we are below, we are beneath, he is above, his ways are higher than ours, and there are many things, many mysteries in God's word that truly are mysterious, contrary to all of those high and mighty experts who claim to have it all figured out. It's all simple. It's all easy. They have answers to everything. Beware of such experts, I recommend. So we, well, going back, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. So we shall see his face. And his name shall be in our foreheads. But it will not be grievous, okay? Again, this is the exact opposite. The exact diametric extreme opposite of the effect of tattoos is that instead of this alienating God, instead of this offending God, instead of this being abominable in the sight of God, instead of this defiling and desecrating our bodies as tattoos do, instead of this being ugly and heathen and pagan, no, this is the exact diametric, extreme, total opposite. God deigns to write his name on us, call us his own, and to put his ownership on us, in us. This is not a dishonor to us, but an honor. This is not the opposite of love. This is not enslavement, like these monstrous, hellish, prostituting pimps, tattoo and brand these poor girls. This is the exact, absolute, utter, total, diametric, extreme opposite. And there are such girls and such young women who will inherit the kingdom of God and the new Jerusalem. But those monstrous, evil, prostituting pimps, they won't be strutting their stuff. They will be in the lake of fire and brimstone, suffering torment forever where they belong. With their God. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Now God Almighty, by his Son, Jesus, via his mighty angel to the Apostle John, already stated that in the previous portion of Scripture. However, he reinforces it, he repeats it, he restates it There shall be no night there. It shall always be light. But the light is not artificial light, such as candlelight or such as electric lights and so forth, or solar-powered lights. Nor shall it be natural light, light of the sun, light of the moon, light of the stars, all of which will have passed away. God shall have dispensed with them. The light shall be from the Lord God Almighty and the Lord God the Son. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Yes, reign. Those of us, we who are so fortunate as to inherit the kingdom of God, the New Jerusalem, wherein God Almighty and God the Son reside and rule and reign, they go so far as to say, to state, that we shall reign. We shall reign. I cannot comprehend that either. I cannot understand that. I don't know how that can be. However, it is stated by one whose word is true and faithful. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. Indeed, they are. God's word is faithful and true. As it said in the previous portion of Scripture, listed as being chapter 21, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. So here he says, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. The Lord God Almighty sent through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, via his holy angel, to his servant, the Apostle John, to show unto all who should read the Word of God, hear the Word of God, the things which must shortly be done. Now, it has been nearly 2 millennia since this revelation of the Apostle John was provided. But now, truly, time draws short. The time is near. It is drawing nigh. It is very near to all of these things being fulfilled that God has spoken. Contrary to the vain philosophers and the false religions and the worldly leaders and academicians and what have you, and the lying theologians and pastors and ministers who, instead of serving God, serve themselves or serve Satan. But those who are faithful, who faithfully serve God and communicate the Word of God, they shall be found worthy to inherit the kingdom of God. I happen to believe that those who are entrusted with the word of God in third world nations, nations where Christianity is far from the majority religion. So many of these nations where there is terrible, grievous, violent persecution, monstrous persecution. I tend to believe that these missionaries, native missionaries, national missionaries, pastors, ministry workers, many of whom have supposedly very unsophisticated understanding, I tend to believe that they are much, much nearer the truth of God and much, much more likely faithful to God and to His Word than the overwhelming majority of the Christian servants within the developed nations, so many of whom enjoy much more sophisticated understandings and formal education. But back to this matter of how quickly these things are coming. The Lord God Almighty states, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Yes, it's been nearly 2 millennia. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Even as Satan has been permitted over and over and over again to monstrously persecute the people of God, the servants of God, and all who are good, all who are kind, gentle, loving, honorable, noble, self-sacrificing, to try them, to test them. But finally, the Lord shall come. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard, when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Again, this is the second time for John falling down before the angel to worship. One may think, well, this John, my word, why does he do that? He must not be, I don't know, how can he be so lacking? How can he be so, you know, off as that? This is the second time now that we have him doing this. But imagine. John was the beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ. John is not given to idolatry, to put it gently, to put it mildly, to understate it very badly. John is righteous and courageous and faithful and powerful in the Lord. He's not made out to be that way. Again, he is horribly misrepresented. As Jesus is misrepresented as not only being the meekest of the meek, but downright weak, John is made out to be more so. And it is not true. Jesus did not name James and John Boanerges, the sons of thunder, because they were weaklings. rather the opposite. But John is so absolutely awestruck, overcome by these visions from God, by this revelation from God, that it blurs the line between Jesus Christ and his angel, so that John falls down before him. This is the same thing we would be having with Daniel. But again, the angel immediately rebukes him. Immediately. It's like when the miracles were wrought by Paul, Paul and Barnabas, and the pagan peoples then started to worship them. And they immediately attempted to correct. Paul and Barnabas immediately attempted to correct them and not to worship them. But here we have the angel saying the following: "Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." So taking it altogether there. "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." Angels are very misrepresented, very misrepresented. And we view them in all manner of wrong light. They frequently are made out to be more likely female than male, feminine, weak. Again, they are weakened, and they are made sweet, and they are made cherubic, and they're made out to be many other things, but non-human. And yet here, again, in each time that the angel rebukes John for falling down at his feet to worship him, he says that I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets. The angel of the Lord here, is the fellow servant of John the apostle and of his brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. The faithful angels, the faithful two-thirds, who did not fall into sin, who did not succumb to the devilry, if you will, of Satan, who did not allow themselves to be seduced into following Satan in rebellion against God. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now again, This was given to John nearly two millennia ago. Well, you know, if the time was at hand then, would we still be here now? The time is at hand. I absolutely understand if you do not accept that as true, that the time is finally at hand. And we have all of these great leaders who would have us believe that no, the time is far away, and they will keep putting it off into the distance indefinitely, eternally. The time will never be at hand. It's the same thing that the Jewish leaders did. The prophecies of judgment from God were never going to really take place, never going to really be fulfilled. But they were. And so these greatest of judgments are truly finally at hand. The time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Wait a minute. Doesn't God Almighty want us all to be saved? Doesn't he want us all to inherit eternal life? Well, this is saying, okay, you who have been so utterly disobedient, unfaithful, unjust, unrighteous, filthy, vile, lewd, profane, enemies of God, enemies of Christ, remain that way a little longer so that you may receive the reward of your deeds, the punishment that you so richly deserve. And you who are righteous, who have been righteous, you who have been holy, you who have been faithful, remain steadfast. Do not turn away. Do not fall away. Your reward is near at hand. Have you suffered so long for nothing to throw it all away? And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be, to give every woman my reward according as her work shall be. Again, even though there are many, and when I say many, I mean a minority, but nonetheless, many who do not marry, many who are divorced, who are put away by an unfaithful spouse, many who are widowed, and some who are widowers, and so forth. God's intention, God's plan, God's creation, his purpose was for male and female to be joined as one. When he refers to every man, this is an expression of that, as he referred to Adam and Eve as Adam. But behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And here, God Almighty, God the Father, and God the Son are both the first and the last. the beginning and the end. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, again, I do not understand why we will need the tree of life. Okay. But apparently, you know, it will serve the purpose of the manna from heaven, if you will, that we will still partake, in this case, of the tree of life. He doesn't say, blessed are they that hear the commandments. Blessed are they that preach the commandments, teach the commandments. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Wait a minute. The commandments. Which commandments? Are we talking about the Ten Commandments? Are we talking about all of the law? What are we referring to? Why do we need that? We have grace. We don't need to be entrapped in that terrible, loathsome, evil, judgmentalism. No. That's far away, long ago. We're so far beyond that. We're so advanced. We have grace now. We don't need the law. We have Jesus. We don't need to bother with commandments and the fear of the Lord. We have grace and we have Jesus. And the Jesus that we have is the meek, mild Jesus. The downright weak Jesus, the milksop Jesus, who has no use for commandments and faithfulness and fearing God and obeying God and honoring God and worshiping God. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. The gates which are always open. Well, then surely anybody and everybody can come in. Surely. Or can they? For without, outside of the city, outside of the gates, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Well, permit me to digress for a moment here. Without are dogs. Okay, this reminds me of these people. They have their big palatial mansion-like houses, and they have their security systems, you know, their high-tech security systems. But, of course, no dogs, because dogs make things dirty, right? They track in dirt on their paws or sand or whatever. And they just, you know, they knock over their water dish and they just make a mess. And they get their food all over the place and their hair and their dander. Unless, of course, you have hypoallergenic dogs like poodles, poodlehounds, and so forth. But you know what I mean. Or they slobber. There are some breeds that they do a lot of that, as well as dropping their hair here or there in the other place, right? So you don't want dogs in your beautiful palatial houses, even if they might save you and your family and loved ones from death in a fire. Even if they might save you or help save you from home invasion. You don't want dogs there. Certainly not. Well, this is a different kind of dog here. Without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Oh, their God is damning women again, isn't he? Just terrible. Whoremongers. Wait a minute. Whoremongers aren't women. Whoremongers aren't whores. Whoremongers are males who are chasing after women of ill repute to commit fornication. But what about dogs? Throughout the Old Testament, when dogs are mentioned, they are not always one and the same. Sometimes they are actual doggies, right? Doggies or wild dogs or what have you. But other times they are referring to the kind of dogs referred to here. Sodomites are dogs. Sodomite prostitutes are dogs. For without are, so let's just, you know, replace this word, dogs, with what is really being referred to here. Okay? For without are sodomites and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Okay, so those individuals, those unsavory individuals, are outside of the city gates. They're lurking about out there around the New Jerusalem, right? Not quite so, because everyone whose name is not written in the book of life not only is not an inhabitant of the New Jerusalem, but they are instead in the lake of fire and brimstone suffering eternal torment. So do not for one moment imagine that these and others, but these including sodomites, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, do not imagine that they're camping out around the New Jerusalem, that they're picnicking outside of the New Jerusalem, that they're lurking about outside of the New Jerusalem, looking for an opportunity to come through those pearly gates. No. No. That is not the case. That is not possible. They are in the lake of fire and brimstone with Satan, the devil, that old serpent, the dragon, and the beast and the false prophet, which is also a beast, and all as many as shall not have their names written in the book of life. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will. Well, what about all these others who do not belong in the New Jerusalem? Can they just come and take the water of life freely? No. No. No, the New Jerusalem is by invitation only. You know, all these churches where they have their sign outside and it says, all are welcome. All are welcome. And that's okay for them to say that if they choose to. Instead of having scripture and something else, that they want to have those sorts of things, that's very, very, very typical. And they're casting a broader net, and they want to welcome all. All are welcome, come as you are, and so forth. But when it comes to inheriting eternal life in the kingdom of God in the New Jerusalem, time is up. Time has passed. You and I have either chosen eternal life through Jesus Christ. We have either chosen to embrace Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord and King and God, or not. If we have rejected Him, refused Him, resisted the love, the mercy, the grace of the only name given under heaven by which we may be saved, we cannot just waltz in and take of the tree of life. No. Jesus' parable concerning the 10 virgins shows that rather clearly, but of course, oh, that's just a parable. Right, that doesn't mean anything. But think back on it. 10 virgins. He didn't say 5 virgins and 5 who were no longer virgins, even though they were not married and not divorced and anything else, and then 5 harlots, you know, expand the group here, 15. Now, no. And if we're having 5 and 5, it wasn't 5 virgins and 5 non-virgins. It was 10 virgins, okay? None of them had committed fornication, right? They were all virgins. And, of course, we've got those who will say, okay, well, you know, they want to get clever here. But with reference to that parable, they were all virgins. None were guilty of sexual sin. But 5 were foolish. They were not foolish about committing sexual sin, but they were still foolish, and they proved themselves unworthy. I don't quite get why they weren't able just to tag along with the 5 who had the lamps with oil, right? Even if their lamps were out, why couldn't they just tag along? But I digress. They went and they got oil for their lamps, and then they knew where to go to his castle, his palace, and they go there and they seek admission and they're turned away. And the Lord says, I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, but my gosh, of course, the dogs and the sorcerers and the whoremongers and the murderers and the idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, they can just waltz right in. No, they cannot. I should not use the term waltz, pardon me. They cannot. And they are in the lake of fire and brimstone, but it is not reserved only for them. Sadly, there are multitudes who will inherit eternal condemnation, suffering, who have not lived a life of evil, but who have committed the exceedingly grave sins of rejecting God the Son, God the Christ, who gave himself for us. Or have put it off so long that they've been taken away by murderers, by destroyers, by natural disasters, by disease, by death in some other form. And now, unless God mercifully makes allowance for them, communicates with them, unless, again, this is not in God's word, but if God saves them, as he saved the one thief on the cross and said, thou shalt be with me in paradise, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, unless that happens, then they will not inherit eternal life in the kingdom of God. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Come, Lord Jesus. The time is at hand. The time is truly at hand. It's not 2 millennia away or 10 millennia away. I do not believe it is 1 decade away. But I could be wrong. But it is near, ever so near. And we act ever so unwisely if we choose to entertain the idea that there is no need for concern, there is no need to draw nigh to God, there is no need to heed God's word, there is no need to obey God. Attending a church, that's fine. Attending church services and their social services, their fellowship suppers and their small groups and all of these things, that's fine. Becoming an official card-carrying member of a local church, be it large or small, be it tiny, a home church fellowship, or be it some massive mega church, that's fine. Or perhaps watching services on television or whatever it happens to be, or on the radio. But none of that assures or guarantees that we will inherit the kingdom of God. There are many, many, many pastors, ministers, theologians, Bible teachers, denominational leaders, and so forth, who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And given that that is true, and you may not believe it, but given that that is true, that should shed some light on the fact that being a member of a church, so-called, being a member, does not guarantee eternity in the kingdom of God. God's standards are higher than ours. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May the Lord God Almighty draw us to himself with cords of love which shall not be broken. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Direct us into all truth. Save us and bring us home into the eternal kingdom of God, which is nigh at hand. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.